How about if I say, well, I'm just close enough, right? No, you do everything precise and concise, or you're not doing your job. How about when I was in the band? If I hit one wrong note, I got in trouble. So I made sure that when I was in there playing those gigs, that I knew the words to the song, I knew the set song, which I missed more than once, but by the way, I didn't hit the wrong chord very often, but every once in a while I would make mistakes, and it destroyed the song, okay? I had the power as a keyboardist and vocalist to destroy the song. So what does God want? Precision, concise patterns, on or off, true or false, right or wrong. So if I have somebody that does things wrong to me, should I just go, well, it's close enough, you know, they didn't mean to slander me, they didn't mean to lie, they didn't mean to put so much stress on me that it's probably going to kill me. Hey, no big deal, right? So I gave people chances after chance. By the way, this guy named Ed Maciel from First Service, thank you, from First Services Residential, put a complaint against me that I had called him a narcissist in my blog. I go, well, I don't think I called him a narcissist because I kept giving him chance after chance after chance to do what's right, to tell the truth, to stand on the side of the righteous. But there is a lady in our midst that I asked at a counselor about. I go, if this person displays this kind of behavior, what would they be called? And he said, a narcissist. I went, ew, that's like really selfish, really self-centered. Politicians are not supposed to be about themselves. They're supposed to be about others. And guess what? I'm not running for office because the only thing I want to do is get out of this community as quickly as I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Elise. Okay. Next, we have Graham Reed.
Morning, everyone. I don't need that. I'm just here to introduce myself. I am running for school board District F, which is an at-large district. Runs all the way from Virginia foothills all the way to the Oregon border, covers Sun Valley. We'd love to be your representative on the school board. I've got four kids, one who finished all of her education in Washoe County, two that are in there right now, and another one coming along next year. So I'm heavily invested for a long time. You may or may not know that schools have become very politicized. It's happened all across the country, and I want to get the politics out of school. I want to cut some of the administrative bureaucracy that's leading to a lot of problems in the school district. I want to get discipline issues under control, attendance under control, and substance abuse issues in high school. There's a lot of problems with the school district. You may have seen that some of the school board meetings turn into a complete circus. The reason for that is because the current school board is not listening to the parents. They're politicians, they know they have power, they understand they have to do public comment like this, but they don't listen to the parents. And I will listen to the parents, and I'll improve our school district, which currently, no matter what propaganda you read in the newspapers, our school district is performing extremely poorly, and it's not because of lack of money, it's because of poor administration. And hopefully I can add a common sense voice to the board. In my other life, I work as a lawyer. I've been a lawyer for a long time, 30 plus years. So anyway, I hope you would consider me. I left some flyers on the table. If you want to pick one up, that'd be fine. You can consider me for your votes. Thank you.
Yeah, hang loose after, so I can talk you out of the meeting.
I beg your pardon?
Hang loose, so I can talk you out of the meeting.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we'll do.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Graham. All right, next we have Susan.
Good morning. I just want to introduce myself. So I'm Susan Siebert. So I currently serve as the vice chair of this of the General Improvement District. So I've been doing that for a while. I feel like I'm finally comfortable enough to know exactly what is all being done there. We have some huge projects coming up, and so I am up for re-election, and I would humbly ask for your vote so we can continue to keep the good work up that we're doing now. Thank you.
All right, next we have Daniel Weber. Yes.
Thank you. I live at 256 Mineral Avenue, and the sheriff's department's been up there on that street because of all the junk cars. Mineral Avenue from Sun Valley Boulevard all the way to the end is just littered with junk. Never get them out. We get them out one time and they come back. It's like, it's a boomerang. Can never get rid of this stuff. And it just, it looks bad. And then, because of the way Sun Valley is and those dirt roads up there, apparently the homeowners or the property owners own up to the middle of the road. And it just makes everything hard because you can't get rid of nothing. You can't get the roads improved. They wash out. There's no culverts. There's nothing. And the road washes out. Now you got to go through a 2-foot ravine to get to your house. You can't get it. You can't, you know, unless you hire somebody and pay for it yourself, you're pretty much out of luck. So I don't know. Is there any way? I mean, how do we address this and get this done? I mean, because it really is bad for the homeowner. I mean, it's bad for your home values. You bring a family up here and you're looking around, you go, my God, but I don't want to live here. You know, it looks like a crack house. That's my complaint.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mr. Newman.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Charles Mark Newman. I go by Mark, and I'm also running for a seat on the General Improvement District here in Sun Valley. Thank you.
Mike Ryder, I'm on the GID. I'm also the vice chair of the CAB. What I wanted to tell the gentleman that just spoke is that there is a program out here, several programs. The Sheriff Department is involved in one. I was going to ask for a future agenda item about car removal, which I still am for next CAB meeting. But there's programs out here, and your local GID actually applies money to the project as well as other places to get cars removed. The process has been long and hard, but they're streamlining it, and we'll try to get you an update on that on our next CAB meeting so you can come and listen to what they're doing, how they're doing it, and maybe you can have some suggestions after you hear what they're already doing to see if you can, you know, brainstorm it and help them come up with even a better way to handle it. My next real public comment is I just want to encourage everybody here to vote, okay? If you want change in your community, if you don't like the way things are going, the only way to fix that is to get out and vote, okay? Whatever way you go, whichever, you know, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, it doesn't matter. It's how it affects you as a community. So please get out and vote for those things that affect your community, vote to help your community, but just participate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, in interest of time, we're gonna do a little shuffling of the agenda, and if it's okay with the sheriff, we're gonna have Truckee Matter Fire go first. And since we don't have any approval of the minutes, if that's okay with you guys, then you guys will go right after him. Oh, we know you guys are busy. We really appreciate you guys coming. And thank you so much.
That's okay. I can possibly get loud.
Yeah, thank you. We want your statistics recorded if they're getting recorded.
If it's not on the mic, then get recorded.
Okay.
Because you're going to do a report, right?
Got
yeah.
It. Yep, I am. I hope all of you and your families are well. Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District responded to in District 45, which is Sun Valley. 5 fires, 196 EMS rescue calls. Good intent calls, service calls 50, and false calls 4. That's what we have listed right now. As far as 255.
How long is that over?
I think since the last time we reported to you, that's probably last month. Apologies for not having that time frame. Okay, so the wildland fuels and open burning grant application was submitted to FEMA for the Sun Valley Regional Park, and that is still pending, and I don't have any updates for you on that. Spanish Springs Green Waste, tentative Green Waste Day scheduled for October 22nd at the Equestrian Center in Palomino Valley, and October 23rd at the Lazy Five Park. These are...
Oh, sorry. That wasn't for you.
Public comment. I'm
done. No, you don't get a timer. Sorry.
these are part of 15 total days district wide. As far as incidents and as far as our current conditions of wildland fire, we got a reprieve from the wildland. You know, fuel moistures last month. Well, we're back into the critical range, so our sense of critical fire danger is high right now. As far as evacuations go, we encourage that if people are asked to evacuate that they do so. We base those evacuations on potential fire spread, meaning direction, rate of spread, things like that. If we feel that a community is threatened, we will kind of create a box on our map and say we need to send out a reverse 911 and also a text messaging system, kind of identifying what areas those areas need to be evacuated. The problem with people that don't evacuate is our focus switches from fire suppression to rescue. That's where it becomes a problem. Washoe County Sheriff's Department does an excellent job in assisting us with getting those evacuations done in critical time frames, but it's incumbent upon you to evacuate if we send out that order. It's good to have a go bag in these times of year that you have something that all the important things, documents, thumb drives, things like that, just in the worst case scenario. Let's see, get close to the end here. We had a few incidents where we had fires and we had a lot of people parking their cars on the side of the road, blocking. Our fire apparatus is not small and it doesn't move very fast. So we encourage you, if you do have a fire, to refrain from taking pictures, getting the best shot, because chances are that's our access, and more importantly, our egress if something goes wrong for the firefighters that are on that fire line. And that's the end of my report, unless you have any questions. Yes, sir.
Mark Newman, for the record. Wednesday night at the Spanish Springs CAB member meeting, I spoke with some of the fire department that was out there, and he was going to refer over some questions to have you prepared. Did he redo that for me?
What would you like me to redo?
He said it was a lot of research that he had to do, so if he didn't do the research and send it over to you, there's no reason for me to waste your time.
Okay. Yeah, this is, was it Sparks Fire or Truckee
Meadows?
No,
it was
Fire?
Truckee Meadows.
Okay.
They were talking about a lot of the same stuff on.
Well, perhaps you can feed me a little bit more information and I can follow up and get back to
we'll
you.
We'll do it after me. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Kind of
the Derek Reed, Battalion Chief, Truckee Meadows Fire and Rescue.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming. All right.
Carol.
We're going to go. Oh.
Questions I've asked him.
Do you mind? Oh, no, I don't mind.
Hi guys.
Kenny
John, Washoe County Commissioner.
I am wearing my mask because I've knowingly been exposed to COVID. And you know I want to be a gold star during this season and never get COVID, but we'll see. That's my personal challenge. So to protect you, I don't want to be breathing all over you, and I know I can't ask everybody to wear a mask. I wanted to, I have another meeting after this, but I wanted to tie in my announcement. Battalion Chief Reed flows perfectly into my next issue, which is I hope you're aware of the number 988. Battalion Chief Reed started a special program here locally that's going nationally based on data because of the extreme trauma that first responders experience. And the battalion chief has started that years ago. It's been in the making, but now it's statewide and it's a fully funded 501c3. And it's going to prevent a lot of the suicides you don't hear about from our first responders because of the unnatural stress that a human being is submitting themselves willingly, hopefully paid well enough for it, but we were never really good at the after effects and the aftercare. And this won't just be for fire. We want to go for all first responders and we want to take it nationwide. The PhD therapist who helped start this is collecting data on it too, so it's going to be original research. And we're expecting it to be a national, if not international, model. And you should be so proud. That's started by your first responders right here in Washoe County. So that ties into, please know the number 988. If anybody you know is experiencing a mental health crisis, that replaces the 1-800 number for the suicide prevention line. And the good thing about 988, first of all, you can remember it, but the second thing is these are professionals who can help you to make sure you have the medication you need, that can de-escalate on the phone call, because what the research shows, the vast majority of people who are suicidal don't really want to commit suicide. They need help. They need to talk to somebody. So please, there's going to be a big rollout from the state, but this was in response to citizens coming forward prior to COVID, but then COVID really brought it open, is that people who were vulnerable mentally, COVID, the isolation, the uproar, you know, we all lived it, the nightmare of this, really pushed some people over the edge. So this is in response to, and the other thing that Battalion Chief Reed, we should probably thank him for this as well, is that because of this outcry, we now have a mental health committee that is based just in Washoe County, opening more beds, because our biggest issue too when it comes to substance abuse or mental health problems is we've never had enough beds for people with that. So I wanted to give you that update. I also wanted to introduce Maudie Luz Garcia, who I'm endorsing. She's running for District 3, and she came out through the primary with two other people, a smoke show, and I think she's going to be the greatest resource you ever had in your life. And one more thing, sir, my good friend that I spoke to yesterday for about an hour, I have a great idea for you, and whomever, if Ms. Myers or Ms. Garcia win, I think we can start pushing, in response to our conversation yesterday, about these unaccepted county roads. The county will not accept any road unless it's up to our standard, right? But the planning that went out here was so old and not the best that these roads are so overlaid with other property owners that the county is not going to go over and take anybody's property either. But it is something that I think we need to, that this board needs to do a little bit more advocating now that we have the ARPA funds, and they're always asking us, what does your community need? I wonder if Sun Valley, with your new commissioner and me, I'm always going to be here. I'll help you whatever you need to do to advocate for you. But you and your new commissioner, why don't we do an overlay and see what is out there to improve the safety? And the way I would do it, not because you want a nicer road, the trouble with a lot of these roads, first responders can't make it down there. Sometimes during the weather, the Postal Service can't make it. The fire engine can't make it down some of these roads. So that is the garbage truck can't make, yes, I got lots of complaints from waste management as well, that they can't make it down this road. So it's a public health and safety issue, and that's the way that I think we should approach it, with some resources now available nationwide. We're not the only one that got resources. Every single county, city, and quasi-government got a lot of money through the ARPA funds. So probably more than we'll ever see in our whole life in terms of the feds helping us out, which they've never done here in Washoe County. When it came to the opioids and the homeless crisis, et cetera, they actually did send lots of money for that. And the other issue where you would fit in, RTC got money too. And you pay a gas tax. So there's a way to crack this nut in a resource-rich environment that I think this gentleman brings up a good point. He's only been here for 5 years, so I think new eyes help us get new energy too to change things. So that's all I got today, Madam Chairwoman. Do you have any questions for me?
I do.
Yes.
For the record, this is Mark Newman. This might have a point to both of you. Between RTC and the other fund that you're talking about, would that like improve 7th Street and 5th Street? Because all the development now, 7th Street and 5th Street are main thoroughfares. And we need, like, today, there was a guy in a wheelchair going down the road and a guy on a bicycle and there's traffic coming the other way. And I had to literally almost stop on the street.
Right.
Just not to hit anybody or get in an accident.
Yeah.
So we need to do some widening on some of these roads and put a sidewalk in so that there's more bicycle and foot traffic exercising on those two main thoroughfares.
I agree.
And then as far as it goes, a lot of these private streets that are dirt within Sun Valley, like the gentleman said, he owns halfway to the street.
Yeah.
If they were to do something where the whole street turned it over, that piece of property, to meet the Washoe County requirements, would it then be a Washoe County?
Only if they meet our standards. Washoe County is not going to take over any road unless it comes up to the standards of Washoe County. Does that make sense?
Do they have to pay for it to be paved then? Is that what you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, they're property owners, yes.
But if they gave that property to Washoe County, then it would be a Washoe County property, wouldn't
it? It would be.
So then would they be in charge of taking care of it?
Not adopting the road. But yeah, I think that we would have a lot more responsibility if it's our property. But you got to get the homeowners to do it. And a lot of the homeowners aren't right there. Just like our Quartz Lane issue that we've dealt with. That is a private road.
Right.
And we, how much have we researched, sir, tried to find the owner? And that's not even my district, by the way. My district has changed to include you guys. Just this last year.
You went from 7th Street to...
I know where I was, yeah. Yes. But that's not my district. But I worked very hard on Quartz Lane. So I just want to make that, state that for the record.
Thank you. You're going to be
okay, thank you. Okay, back to the agenda. Next we have the sheriff's office. Thank you guys so much for waiting patiently. We appreciate you coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, everybody. I'm Lieutenant Johnson with the Wash County Sheriff's Office, and with me here today is Sergeant Tinsa. We are both day watch, basically the weekend side. I start Wednesday, he starts Thursday, and we rotate the Sunday. But specifically today, we have a presentation for you guys to see. It's on the catalytic converter program that we started up. So off first, it's about 9 minutes, 10 minutes long. We'll play, if you guys don't mind me playing the program, and then if you guys have any questions, I'll absolutely answer after.
Yeah, I know.
Need your full headset. Okay, so I just plugged it in.
Open it up and then scroll down on the side.
Over here?
And, yes.
Okay.
There it is. USB drive.
Right there. Okay, great.
Yep. I might double click on that and it might play by itself.
Welcome to the Washoe County Sheriff's Office Catalytic Anti-Theft Program. We will begin this presentation by watching two short videos. Announcement. The Sheriff's Office has filled over 750 unique orders, sent out over 1,125 customized VIN stencils, and established partnerships service centers to assist our community with the VIN stencil application.
I don't see a volume here.
Please visit washoesheriff.com to participate in the program.
That all the way to. Wow.
I don't know if you guys want to maybe rearrange unless you guys know how to, because it's not going on any louder than that. And we have it.
Well, you don't hear volume of the theft happening, right?
No, it's just the.
Well, we can see the picture.
Yeah, everything's 100%.
I say let's go for it. You guys want to move closer so you can hear?
It's up to you guys.
Yeah.
If not all, I mean, she basically talks over everything that's on the slide. She's reading the slide, so you'll be able to grab everything from the individual slides.
It's plain. We have the sound at 100.
But we can't, we're not seeing it on the screen.
You're not seeing it on the screen?
No.
Okay. Did you see it earlier?
Yeah, we saw it earlier.
Okay, then why is this different than, let's see, let's do a fresh one.
I think you have to remove it off the guide. Yes, there you go, off the control.
Any computer person. I'll turn it over. I'll cover you.
I know. I'm just saying it looks more like that's part of the control than the computer.
How does that look? Nothing.
Is that the only remote you have?
Oh.
Yeah, one of them is.
Wow, from here, I don't know.
I'm just saying.
All right, while they're figuring this out, I want to let you guys know, I know somebody who has a ring, and they saw somebody suspicious, like came up on their ring, and they're just looking around. So she decided to get a cup of coffee, pop up at the window, and see what's happening. Next thing you know, two guys come up the car across the street, start, she calls 911, they come and they catch them, trying to steal the catalytic converter across the street. So act, and get them caught.
Can you make it bigger?
No, this was in Reno. This was on Kings Road in the daytime.
Let's see.
Yeah. That's what this shows too.
Yep. My nephew and Sparks, they had to come out of their car.
Our girl here.
Let's catch them.
They were desperate for some
Let's get them caught.
There we go. Okay.
Then,
oh, I noticed the sound was. So maybe if we bring that back.
Okay,
oh, there we go. Now I'll bring it back.
I'm jumping in the car.
Oh, there it goes. Now we have audio.
Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Washoe County Sheriff's Office Catalytic Ring Detector. We will begin this presentation by watching two short videos.
Okay, it's going away. What were you on the sound? Here we come.
There, sir.
Does it take to remove one? It's under 5 minutes, isn't it?
Sometimes 30 seconds.
Oh, my God.
When a catalytic converter is stolen, it generates revenue on three levels. The street level, who are individuals cutting the cats out of parked vehicles. The transporter, who are individuals that commonly use social media platforms to generate purchases from the street level, then transport significant quantities of cats out of Washoe County. And the scrap metal processors, businesses that purchase scrap metal, and in this case, cats, to extract the precious metals contained within the honeycomb of the catalytic converter. Many of these businesses are located outside Washoe County.
Everything's up.
They are stolen because it's quick and easy and yields high revenue. The average removal of a cat is 1 to 5 minutes with common battery-operated tools and yields $100 to $1,000 for the street-level thieves. They are stolen from parked cars day or night, and targeted vehicles are high clearance vehicles due to easy access to the underbody, fuel efficient vehicles that contain two or more cats because they yield high revenue. Electric vehicles are not affected due to the lack of cats, and once a cat is stolen, it can cost the victim up to $3,000 in repairs, in addition to the cost of alternative transportation and time. Throughout time, the urban mining of precious metals have increased when the market value of these metals skyrocket. The honeycomb of a catalytic converter contains rhodium, palladium, and platinum. As of July 2022, rhodium is valued at $13,900 per ounce. Palladium is valued at $1,929 per ounce, and platinum is valued at $849 per ounce, whereas gold is valued at $1,733 per ounce. This is why thieves are willing to extract cats right in front of your eyes, as seen in the next two short videos.
I mean, what gets me is, I hear somebody comes walking up along the side. See the person walking up off the side?
That's the parking lot of the courthouse.
And they walk right by. Oh, wow.
In Reno?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's district court.
Oh my goodness.
In 2008, Nevada established laws to address the crime trends of urban mining. NRS 205.267 penalties for theft of scrap metal specifically identify catalytic converters as scrap metal. And in Section 3 and 4, it orders restitution to the victim, allowing the determination of the value to include the cost of repairs caused by the theft. While working with the Washoe County District Attorney's Office, we identified a small loophole, as this NRS does not contain specific verbiage for possession, making it difficult to prosecute unless you catch the thieves actually extracting the catalytic converters. The Washoe County Sheriff's Office is hoping to close this loophole in the next legislative session. The Nevada revised statute also contains chapters 647, which requires scrap metal processors to keep accurate and specific purchasing records to include detailed information on the sellers. Additionally, scrap metal processors are subjected to inspections of not only their records, but the products they are receiving. The Washoe County Sheriff's Office developed the Catalytic Anti-Theft Program to combat and deter the 270% increase of thefts the community has endured over the last few years. It's intended to discourage thieves through community involvement and awareness. It resembles similar programs that have proven a decrease in thefts. It addresses the crime trend on all three levels, as a VIN-marked catalytic converter is traceable nationwide. It deters thieves, as they do not want to be caught with stolen property. And it enables law enforcement to identify and locate the victims, assist with returning stolen property, and completes the nexus needed to adequately prosecute the criminal act. To participate in the program, visit washoesheriff.com. In the I Want To section, select Apply for Catalytic Program. From there, choose either individual or business. Fill out the application and press submit. An email confirmation will be sent to you shortly after your application is received. You will receive a letter containing your customized VIN stencils and instructions on how to apply and paint your catalytic converter. This letter will also include a list of local automotive service centers who are donating their time and labor to assist the program by helping the community. If you are an automotive service center that would like to participate in the program, please contact Detective Butler at the Washoe County Sheriff's Office. The Washoe County Sheriff's Office Honorary Deputy Association donated money to start the program. It costs less than $2,000 to purchase the equipment and materials needed to launch the program. The average cost to fill individual orders is around 94 cents, and the Sheriff's Office is seeking donations to keep the program running. In the first 30 days after the public announcement, the Sheriff's Office has filled over 750 unique orders, sent out over 1,125 customized VIN stencils, and established partnerships with five local automotive service centers to assist our community with the VIN stencil application. Please visit washoesheriff.com to participate in the program.
Real quick.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, I apologize for the volume. The Clip Notes version, if this gentleman here is the only one that participates in the program, my partner and I can go take your cat, can go take your cat, can go take your cat, party for a couple weeks, hang out, do what we do, maybe throw in a little vehicle bird here and there, a residential bird, go commit some other crimes, and then we're next week or a month from now, we're going to work on your guys' cars. So if we all were to participate in it and everybody's cap was vinyl binned and or spray painted from, you know, one of the five that's currently participating with us, then we have to push outside of Sun Valley. We have to push outside of Spanish Springs. Maybe we have to push outside of Washoe County. We have to push outside to a different area. And that's one of the things, I don't know if you guys are aware, as far as the sheriff's, one of his platforms as far as our crime reduction strategy, we use a model that's called Stratified. And basically, me and my partner were comfortable in our area, we're comfortable with the people, we're comfortable with our escape routes, we're comfortable with the citizens we live around. So it's easy for us to get away, to plan, to be on basically our turf. So one would think, you know, kind of like the Clark County warrant that says don't come back to Clark County, but the idea truly is push people out of their comfort zone, so now all of a sudden they start, you know, committing crime at different places, different times, and they make mistakes. So it allows us statistically, we actually catch them easier. So with the program, if you go to washoesheriff.com, it is truly as simple as clicking three different menu buttons and then filling out your personal information. One is your vehicle VIN. You hit submit, you get an email back to you, and then you will get the vinyl VIN that you can do yourself, and it probably take you about 5 minutes to do. So if we all can push out to our friends, family, neighbors, that it's a good program, it's free to you. The more catalytic converters that we take off of the market, then we, you know, it's the supply and demand thing. Yeah.
So is there a year, what's the oldest year that that applies to?
So it would apply to any that has a catalytic converter.
So
like my 2014 diesel truck, his 2017 diesel truck doesn't have a cat on it, so they're not coming after it. So we wouldn't, there'd be no reason for us to participate. But if your car is equipped with a catalytic converter, then ultimately they want to take it, they want to steal it, so you would be able to get a vinyl sticker.
So
does that make sense?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, Lieutenant, I just wondered, I mean, this is something that maybe we need to talk to our state and our federal representatives too, because this would be something that it would be nice if the actual manufacturers would stencil the VIN number onto the catalytic converter. I mean, because this is not just a Washoe County problem. This is a problem clear across the nation. That, I mean, there's, you know, there's some places that they're catching people with 10,000 catalytic converters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy.
No, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. It's not a Washoe County. It's not the Sun Valley or Washoe County problem. It is a global problem.
I mean, our federal electorates are the ones that we probably need to reach out to, so they can maybe talk to the industry. And,
yep.
And usually,
fix,
you know, the carrot is usually better than the stick. They would rather do it voluntarily than to actually have a law passed that makes them do it.
Right.
And then you said,
how do you know if yours has been stolen?
Oh, you'll hear it.
Do you have a light put on? Is it noisy?
It would be super.
I don't know anything about cars. I don't even know if I have one. A catalytic converter. Yeah. I know I have a car.
It would be super loud. So it would be like, if you've ever heard those cars with an open exhaust where it, you know, where it just. Like,
so it's really loud, yeah. But there's no dash light or anything that comes
you'd
on?
You'd probably throw
would an engine light
an
O2
sensor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything with, so I don't quote me on this, but the check engine light is basically for keys up 90% for smart requirement stuff. So anything with O2 sensor, anything with your catalytic converter exhaust will give you, should give you some sort of check engine light.
Okay.
Engine thing.
Cool.
Pressure.
Thank you.
Yep, sir.
Yeah, so I'm a little confused. They're just painting these things? I mean, you can get paint remover, take the paint off. How's that gonna?
So, and I'm not a catalytic converter expert. I have diesel.
Dang it.
But think of it this way, and this would be the highest level of my knowledge, but I think it's as simple as this. The catalytic converter is its own safe. So the honeycomb that goes around it, all the precious metals are on the inside. So think of it as the precious metals are on the inside, the outer carrier is kind of a honeycomb safe in and of itself that goes around that's the outside of your catalytic converter. So by spray painting it, you don't have to spray paint it, but by these vinyl decals, all you do is put them on, and then when you turn your engine on, because of the temperatures of the exhaust, it melts on. So me being the thief, I give it to the transporter, or I could be the transporter too, but ultimately I need to give it to the metal guy. The metal guy doesn't want it if it's been painted, because that means it hasn't been demolished, means its likelihood that it's been stolen, means it's trackable because it has the VIN. Mm-hmm. If you tamper with the safe, meaning the outer shell, the honeycomb shell, the metal recycler won't take it, because he would be breaking the law. Mm. So it would kind of, it's truly as simple as we don't want all the painted. If they're painted, they're almost secured. Obviously the VIN is better because it burns it into it, so it's not just as easy as removing the paint. So, and then by having the VIN on it, the difference between why can't we just spray paint them, is because spray painting, there's no way for us to keep it in our national data system. By us having a VIN, in essence a serial number, it can go into the national data system. So when my partner pulls you over and you have one or two of them in your car, if they're just catalytic, like, how do I prove whose that is? How do I prove it's not yours? How do I? So now you have his in your car, and we call him, and we can look up a report, we can pull it up in our NCIC. So it really, it's a crazy simple fix that totally works because of the nature of how the business works. If that makes sense.
Thank you.
Yes.
Have you thought of going a step further and maybe having a little sticker that you could put on your window saying, my catalytic converter has a VIN number or registered with the sheriff or something like that, and that would,
right.
Security systems.
Ultimately, this is super new program. It was actually kind of, my understanding is it was kind of conceptualized by one of our detectives that was dealing with so many, her caseload was catalytic converters, and she's like started digging into it and started. So it's truly kind of in the baby steps, and I don't know if you heard it in the video, but it truly, from our honorary deputy association, they donated $2,000, and it was less than $2,000 to get the equipment, and it cost 94 cents to print the stickers. So I don't know, but I'll absolutely bring that back. And I would use the analogy, because I steal the same, I guess, philosophy. When I come to your house after it's been broken into or vehicle burned, I will tell people, you know, get a light, turn on your light. It's worth the amount of money that you're paying to have a light. If you can't afford, you know, get a camera system, get a multi-million-dollar one. If you can't afford that, if you can't afford any, get a fake camera system. Because as I'm walking by picking my targets, I want the targets that's the easiest. So that would be the same thing. Maybe people don't want to
take the step of the cat, but even putting a sticker in there, if I walk by and see a sticker, I'm not gonna go to your car, I'm gonna go to his car. So absolutely great idea, and I'll bring it back to them.
Thank you, that was so informative. I really appreciate you coming out.
Absolutely, thank you guys.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. And I will email you.
Ken, thank you so much for your patience.
Email me your report.
I would like to thank Ken for getting us copies of the agenda. Thank you so much. We have one left if anybody wanted to see what we were supposed to do today. We're super flexible here, so we appreciate that. Oh, you guys, I wanted to, anybody that wants a bin sticker and wants to enroll in the program, that doesn't have computer access, that doesn't know how to do it,
need to turn it 180
this way.
And help you figure it out. Right, Carol?
There we go. Should come to rehearsal. Right.
I'm working with the sheriff. That's why he said he's going to be emailing me. He's going to work on getting some paperwork that I could put into the senior center to some of our seniors that do not have computers, to where they can do it all on paper, mail it in. I'm also working on another shop here in town that if you are over 60 years old, they will do it also for you free. So I'm trying to get
another shop to add. You just got to double click it.
So I don't want you to feel left out if you were not technology savvy, anybody, okay? All right, moving on.
And then
waiting for Ken, so.
Go to, where is
it? Grab a snack, you guys.
Slideshow.
Thank you, Hobies, for the amazing snacks.
And then yes, they have been a wonderful from job. Beginning, I'll go over there.
Okay.
Chris, the bartender, the head bartender, she's the one that sets up the room and cleans the floor.
It's on
by herself. That's one of the things she does.
Is there a full screen mode? Let's go to display settings.
Get carved up to $20 each for
yeah,
this.
Sure, that's great.
Yeah,
love it.
No, I don't want to do that.
She works really hard at it.
That's all right, it's close enough.
Let's see, I wonder if these guys, what is this? See all sides.
So while we're waiting and we're off the records, are you pro for the construction or are you
that's right, we'll just run with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Smart construction.
And then,
I'll just let you know and you can just hit click
next.
Ahead. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's actually good on the screen. So.
Oh, great. Right. Oh, it's full on the screen?
Yeah.
Perfect. Three,
right?
Okay.
I've met Denise. I have met you, so.
I can stay after and introduce myself.
I have a celebration of life to go to with one, so I'm at the Sky Tavern. I've known the guy for 15 years. He's been with us together for a long time. Ready? All right, Ken, go.
All right, is this working? Thank you very much. My name is Ken Crater with Crater Consulting Group. And today I am presenting a project we're calling Highland Village Phase 2, which is on Highland Ranch Parkway, just a little ways west of Midnight Drive in the Sun Valley area. And as a little bit of background, we brought forward Highland Village 1, which is 215 units on the north side of Highland Ranch Parkway. That tentative map was approved a couple years ago. We've got a final map with Washoe County basically ready to submit for recordation. And that project will hopefully start construction maybe this fall, early next spring. I believe there was quite a bit of a public outreach process with that project when it came forward. This project is to the south across the street. It's in between Highland Ranch Parkway and Virginia Palmer Elementary School. We just got approval from the Board of County Commissioners on our master plan amendment and zone change for this project. It changed the zoning to high density suburban and general rural, and now we're moving forward with our tentative map. So that's what I'm gonna be speaking about with you today, is the tentative map process for this Highland Village Phase 2. And this is a photograph looking from the top of the Rocky Knob, which we're preserving, looking down on what will be the developed portion of the site and down towards Virginia Palmer Elementary School. Next slide, please.
How many houses on the second phase?
73. And this is a better location map. You can see Highland Ranch Parkway. This is Midnight Drive down at this location right here. And you can see Virginia Palmer down on the bottom portion of the screen. One thing I want to point out too is this Klondike Drive at one point was graded up through there. We're going to revegetate that and eliminate that because I know there's been issues with junk cars and motorcycles running across the site, which has been an attraction for some of the existing homeowners. Next slide, please.
Is that going to become part of the walking path to get
yes.
up to the knoll?
Yes, and I'll go through that. Just some additional photos. These are all kind of looking from the Rocky Knoll. This is looking to the east down Highland Ranch Parkway. That's pretty much the same slide as the cover page. Next slide, please. And then this is looking towards the homes to the west and also a detention basin, which exists down on this corner right in here.
And up to the top.
Yeah, there's two of them, exactly. Next slide, please. So when we first started looking at this property, I quickly realized that the steepest slopes in this area, which is the area in yellow, which is 15 to 30% slopes, and the area in red are slopes that are greater than 30%. And there's a little bit of general rural on this property now. It's 1.7 acres, and it doesn't cover the steepest part of the site. And going up on this Rocky Knoll, it's beautiful up there. You've got great views. And I thought that whole Rocky Knoll should be preserved for the public and have some sort of public access so they can enjoy it. Next slide.
Thank you for that.
And you can see it right here. This little blue line here, light blue, is the general rural, and it doesn't even encompass the steepest parts of the site or the Rocky Knoll. So right now, well, before we got the approval from the Board of County Commissioners, there was 1.7 acres of rural land use, 1.7 acres of general rural, and 16.7 acres developable acreage. Next slide, please. And then we looked at the Sun Valley Area Plan. This site is wholly within the Sun Valley Plan. It's part of the Suburban Character Management Area. We did a traffic study to figure out issues there. It wasn't technically required because it generates less than 100 trips per hour, which is the county's threshold. It only generates about 75 trips, but we did it anyway just because we know that the neighborhood has concerns about traffic in Highland Ranch Parkway. And we really wanted to make sure we did everything we could to minimize the impact, not just on flow, but also on the safety of the intersections that would access that street. And then we also did a very detailed soils report. We wanted to make sure that we knew as much as we could about this property. Next slide, please.
Ken, do you mind if I stop you?
Sure.
Do you remember, we appreciate you doing that traffic survey, we really do. Do you remember what month and year that was?
It was like last September, October, I believe.
So
the school was in session, so.
September, October, thank you.
Yeah. I also looked at the Sun Valley Area Plan because it's important from a planning standpoint to make sure that you're addressing a neighborhood or area plan. And some of the things I found is hillside development shall disturb the minimum area required for construction, conserve steep slopes in their natural state. I think this is an obvious one. And Sun Valley, you have such beautiful terrain in this area. The disturbed area shall be finished, meaning if you disturb something, you want to landscape it, revegetate it. You just don't want to do like Klondike and grade it and leave it where you have erosion control issues and blight issues. And also, you don't want fill slopes exceeding a 3-to-1 slope. Hillside grading to establish an undulating naturalistic appearance. Soils disturbed by the development process shall be revegetated no later than the next spring. Parks and open space, multi-purpose trail systems is important. New trails designed to accommodate equestrian, pedestrian, and bike traffic. So I also wanted to make sure that I incorporated these policies in my plan. Next slide, please.
Thank you again.
So this is what we ended up coming up with. Is our master plan amendment and zone change now protects the entire Rocky Knoll. We went from 1.7 to 3.7 acres of rural and general rural land use and zoning designations and cut the developable portion down from 16.7 to 14.7 acres. So I thought that was a very positive change. And then in terms of the grading, we actually have a variance to do a 2-to-1 slope stepping up to that Rocky Knoll because that reduces the impact. If we did a 3-to-1, which is code, it would cut further into the knoll, and we wanted to maintain that portion of the hillside. That will be using rockery walls. We'll use stone from the site, so it'll look more natural. And those landscape terraces will be landscaped with native landscaping, really to try and mimic what you see out there now. But the goal, again, was really to preserve that rocky knoll in entirety. And then also the public access. This is, again, where the school is. And we didn't want any sort of vehicular access down onto 9th Avenue because of the school there. That just didn't seem like a good idea. So instead, what we ended up with is a single T intersection onto Highland Ranch Parkway, which works really good from a traffic standpoint because a T intersection is much safer than a four-leg intersection because you have far fewer conflicts at a four-leg intersection. There's fewer left turns, through movements, and right turns. So now essentially you just got the right in, right out, a left in, and we're gonna have a left turn median pocket, an actual turn pocket, so you don't have to slow down the perfect person behind you that's traveling westbound up the hill.
Can you show me where the kids are gonna walk to the school?
Yes, so we also incorporated some pedestrian access. First of all, Highland Village was required to put a crosswalk across Highland Ranch Parkway. We're going to be installing a push button activated flashing beacon. So a child or a parent, whoever that's crossing at that location, you'll actually have to push the button to get the walk indicators to light, which is way safer because of driver expectation. If you go through an intersection that has a flashing beacon on 24/7, eventually you tend to ignore it. But when it comes on and flashes as you're driving down the street, it's much more obvious and likely to slow you down.
Mark Newman, are there going to be in the fact that you're going to have 215 homes on the other side of Highland Ranch Road there? Is there going to be a school zone lights in there as well for when the kids are going to and from school?
No, I've got that on a future slide, but we talked to the Washoe County School District. They did not want a school zone on Highland Ranch Parkway. But we will have the
flashing question for you.
Let me finish my answer here real quick. We will have the flashing beacons, not just at this intersection, but also down on Midnight Drive. And Washoe County ultimately plans to signalize that intersection. We're actually contributing $180,000 with Highland Village towards the cost of signalization of that intersection.
Midnight
and Highland Ranch Parkway.
Stoplight. Yes. For the four-way intersection?
A traffic signal,
good.
Yes.
Good, it's going to slow people down. Thank you, Ken.
Well, then, my question is this. Well, then, why doesn't the developer put in the signal light and then just take the tax credit just like we've done in the past?
Because it's not warranted yet.
Not warranted because there's nothing built, but once it's built, believe me, that will be a part of it.
We don't want someone to get hit.
Here's my final statement to the school district not wanting to put a school zone in. They would rather see all the kids that run across Highland Ranch Road on a 45-mile-an-hour street instead of slowing them down because they don't care about the kids.
School only approve a crosswalk light if you can see the road from the school.
But you can. You can see that road from the school.
You can see the whole road from the school.
I live there.
If we get the light, that'll...
But I do want to point out that when a traffic signal isn't warranted, and we did a very thorough warrant analysis with build-out of both of our projects, and the problem with unwarranted signals is they tend to increase rear-end accidents. And so you're weighing, you know, putting that signal when it's necessary, but you also don't want to increase accidents. And we looked at the accidents on there right now, and there's been four accidents in a three-year period, but they wouldn't be an accident that went away if the traffic signal was there. Most of them were driver inattention and not paying attention. But we also are going to greatly improve the street lighting. Now there's just a single street light at midnight. We got the county to agree to let us put two more. So we're going to have three street lights on at night instead of the one that's there right now. And then we're also going to put three street lights at our intersections right here. So we will have a pedestrian path that comes down from the crosswalk, loops through our development, but then we're also going to put a pedestrian path down to 9th Avenue and actually put a sidewalk all the way to the existing sidewalk on Virginia Palmer. So now the kids that walk down there will have safe access, and even though there's not a school zone, that flashing beacon will be a big safety improvement, and having the three lights in the lieu of one. But then we're also going to have a trail system that starts off from this same location, loops up so you can loop through the Rocky Knoll, enjoy the view, and then tie back into Highland Ranch Parkway. And that picks up with the trail system across the street. Not like you'd want to cross there, but people will regardless. So those are some of the things that we looked at. So I think the T intersections are a big deal. Initially, folks were looking at making this just a four-leg intersection to access both projects, but these two T intersections will function much more safely because of the reduced conflicts at each of those intersections. And one thing I want to point out is the county Board of County Commissioners, we had approval from the Planning Commission, but they wanted us to do a development agreement to cap the density on this site. So if we died and went away and somebody else came back, they couldn't have more than the 5 units per acre on here. Well, we actually went less than the 5 units per acre the commission asked for and put in 4.5. So that development agreement, the first reading of the ordinance was approved. So even if we go away, it is going to cap the density. But moving forward, I told the county commission, I think a better approach on density capping is to use zoning, because we actually suggested using a mix of high density and medium density zoning to limit the density, because zoning's in perpetuity. A development agreement has a time limit, people can forget about it. So I think the staff and the Board of County Commissioners now recognizes that there's a better way to do business for future projects by using zoning as a better tool. Next slide, please.
Quick question. On phase one, how many units per acre on phase one?
Phase one is 55 acres and 215 units, so it's about 4.75 units per acre. And this one will have a gross density of just under, right around 4 units per acre.
So instead of the 4.5, it'll be four?
Yeah, we're actually even less than the 4.5.
Basically 4 acre lots?
Well, they're roughly 4,000 square foot lots, but because we have all that open space and we have some additional open space that we're using for landscaping buffers and detention areas, our gross density is right around 4 dwelling units per acre. So this is our preliminary landscape plan, and you can notice this is what we're looking at for our tentative map. It looks pretty much the same as we committed to the neighbors when we went through this process originally, right? It's the same street layout, the same cul-de-sac. We did get rid of a lot down here and shifted them up there, just because we wanted to make sure that we had full control of our drainage before it came out into the drainage channel in Highland Ranch Parkway. We still have the 2-to-1 slope. We're preserving the Rocky Knoll. We still have the pass. So everything that we came forward to the neighborhood with and the Sun Valley General Improvement District with, we still have within our tentative map. So we've lived up to all our commitments.
One last thing for you, Ken. Have you been working with Five Ridges at all on that drainage canal? Because they're running a pipeline. They're going to be here next month, October the 1st, hopefully. But they're going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff, improvements to that as well. I don't know if you've been working with them at all to get it all done at one time when you're all doing it.
Yeah, we did meet with them because we offered to let them have an easement across our property for the water line, because we had concerns about placing the water line on the south side of that common area, just because that's where the kids walk to school. I don't think they wanted to wait for our tentative map to be done, but we are fully willing to work with them and grant them an easement, and I think that's a better placement for the water line. But yes, we have been talking to them. So
they've already got a improvement through the HOA, Highland Ranch HOA, to improve that whole backside along the fence line.
Good.
So they're going to be working on that one as well. So
great. By the way, if you're interested, I know that project's coming back before the Sparks Planning Commission at their meeting the 15th, whatever the date that is. They have an amendment to their mass grading plan. I think it's Wednesday the 15th, so.
I don't know, I have to be there.
But anyways, I just want to point out that all this area now remains undisturbed, with the exception that we are going to build a trail. It's the county trail standards. They use the U.S. Department of Agricultural trail standards. So we will be constructing that as part of the project. We're going to provide a point of access into the open space where the detention basin is to the west, and then also looping into our sidewalk. So you'll have great connectivity and public trail system within this project. We're going to have street trees all the way along Highland Ranch Parkway where we're disturbing the site. But up in this area, since it's undisturbed, we're just leaving that in its natural state. And I think this will help create a nice buffer as you're coming into the Sun Valley area to have a little bit of development and then see that nice rocky knoll as you drive by. And then we also have quite a bit of landscaping between our project and Virginia Palmer Elementary School. Next slide, please.
Okay. Will kids still be able to ride their dirt bikes, quads, and horses on the trail?
So my thought with the trail is basically limit it to pedestrian access and dirt bikes. I don't think the USDA trail is really conducive, say, to equestrians. Certainly not motorcycles. I wouldn't want any motorcycles on there. There's a lot of children in this neighborhood. And so, we'll do whatever the neighborhood thinks is right. But from my standpoint, I think pedestrian traffic, kids riding their bikes, those are uses that work and go together.
So currently, right here, mm-hmm. This is where they ride bikes, dirt bikes, quads, ride horses, razors, right here. And then right now they're riding over here and they're riding over here. So if they're not going to ride here, where are they going to go?
Well, there is thousands of acres of public land to ride your dirt bike. And that's sort of the way I look at it, right?
This is the access right here for everybody over here to their horses to get down to the open land. And if you shut this access off,
they'll still have it. They'll still be able to go along the path that they do right now. That won't be impacted.
But we're saying with motorcycles.
Yeah, I'm just talking on the trail systems that we're building, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
that was our thing.
Yeah.
It ties into our existing trail system,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right,
exactly.
You.
Next slide, please. Oh, back. Good. Can you go back one?
Yeah.
Just some things I want to point out again is we're going to abandon Klondike Drive. It never should have been built anyway. It doesn't even come close to meeting county standards. You can see how close these contour lines are. It's really steep. And all that does is promote drainage and erosion issues when you get a lot of rain. So we're going to be revegetating those existing areas and just making them natural. Again, abandoning Klondike. We've got the push button activated flashing beacon and crosswalk both here and at Midnight Drive. And then again, the T intersections that we have for safety. All right, now next slide. And this was an important issue when we came back last time, just to reiterate this. This is with Highland Village 1. But with our plans that are approved by the county, it also improves the traffic calming that was agreed to and requested by the Planning Commission. And that will extend all the way from Highland Ranch Parkway down Midnight to Lightning Drive, down Magenta, and all the way down 7th Avenue to Klondike. We will be installing a few raised medians, putting in striping and parking bike lanes. You can see a little bit blow up right here. But I was actually the traffic engineer for the city of Reno for 7 years. I've done a lot of traffic engineering, and I used to do stuff like this when I was in the city, creating that friction with the raised medians, narrowing up the street, striping. That has a big impact on slowing down traffic, and we think this will be really positive for that whole neighborhood and maybe slow some people down enough where they'll stick to Sun Valley Boulevard instead of driving through the residential neighborhood.
One other, like you said, you were in Reno. On Idlewild Drive, they have the same type of slowing, but they also add a speed bump, and it really slows the traffic down. Are there going to be speed bumps at each one of these as well with, you know, the little triangular stripe lines to the speed bump?
No, the county didn't want any more than this right now. The issue with speed humps is Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District, because that slows down their response time. So the county also feels that this will take care of the issue, and that way you don't have the impacts to the fire department.
So how come they have them all over the rest of the place, but they don't want them here?
You know, Reno Fire is kind of accepting them in certain locations. Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District, maybe not so much. But this will be a big improvement, and see how it works. And if, you know, speed humps are required, I know my partners and I would certainly be willing to fund a few of those too. If we feel that more than this is needed, so let's start with this.
It's horrible through there. Thank you.
It is. Next slide, please. Again, just showing some more of the traffic calming. This is some more of the striping and raised medians on magenta between Cinnamon and Apricot.
Hold that slide for a second. So right here is the Highland Ranch and Midnight. So this is going to be a four-way intersection now.
Yes.
And this is where you're going to be putting a traffic signal in?
Yeah, that's
so,
where.
So are you going to be improving this to have a turn lane, straight lane as well?
Yes.
So
we're actually adding a separate right turn lane and a through travel lane, restriping that northbound approach on Midnight to add that separate right turn lane.
Okay. So when is this street light going to be going in?
The county engineer has to raise the rest of the funds, but it's got to be warranted, right? So it's probably 5 years out, realistically, before there's enough growth to warrant the signal.
That'll be about the same time the development is done?
Well, this site will probably be developed in about 3 years, but then you'll have five ridges coming. So once those warrants are met, then it'll make sense to put the signal in.
Now, Five Ridges is adding another water line all the way down through here and then tying in down here.
Right.
At this section right here, Five Ridges is spending a great deal of money to redo this whole its intersection and landscaping. You might want to get a hold of them so that you guys can get something going on that together.
It doesn't get
done twice.
I went to Jesse Beck Elementary School with Blake Smith, who owns Five Ridges, so I have no problem.
They'll be here next month. I've been dealing with Seth.
Next slide, please. And just quickly, I want to go back over some of the items that came up in our first neighborhood meeting last October. We talked about the traffic calmings, the flashing beacons at the pedestrian crossings, the fact that the school district did not want a school zone on Highland Ranch Parkway. We're adding significantly more street lighting on Highland Ranch Parkway at our intersections, which I think will be positive. Next slide, please. And one thing I want to reiterate too, within the development, we're going to have absolutely minimal lighting, and all lighting within the development will be required to be both dark sky certified or equivalent and also fully shielded because we all love our nighttime skies in Nevada. I know I do.
Thank you.
And other issues, the presence of junk cars and motorcycle ridings near homes, again, that will be addressed with development and abandonment of Klondike Drive. When we met in October, we just got in that giant rainstorm of 3 inches of rain, so we really spent a lot of time looking at the drainage, and we actually went back and redid the drainage studies that were done for the site to the west just to make sure that they were accurate and to make sure that we had adequate flows in our piping and our detention basin to accommodate this. And the other thing that we're doing on our project is I talked to Dwayne Smith, the county engineer. We're actually using a third-party engineering consultant to do a quality control check on our plans just to make absolutely sure that we've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, because it's a big deal, right, to get the engineering right, make sure your drainage works, your sewer works, your water works. So that's an extra step that we're doing, and I know county staff very much appreciates it. And the other thing is there were concerns eventually Highland Ranch Parkway will likely be widened to four lanes, and so we worked with the Regional Transportation Commission, have them review our plans to make sure that there was nothing that we were doing that would negatively impact their ability or add cost to them to widen the road in the future. Next slide, please.
Long way down the road.
Can I ask a question, or you want me to wait?
Sure, go for it. It's up to the board, not me.
Go ahead. Thanks.
So you mentioned that the school district said that they didn't want a school zone on Highland Ranch Parkway. What was the reasoning for that?
So actually, MJ Cloud is the public safety officer for the school district. She's got a wealth of experience. She's very good at what she does. I've been working with her in projects almost since I worked at the city of Reno. And basically she just didn't feel that it was warranted, that with the sidewalks, with the flashing beacons, the crosswalks that we're doing, the problem if you put it in an unwarranted school zone, people start ignoring it. And that's when you're more likely to get a safety issue because a kid, a parent, hey, the school zone, I'm safe, right? I don't have to worry as much. And all of a sudden, an errant vehicle has been through there and has never had an issue. Next thing you know, you've got a crash or an accident. So that's, I think, MJ's point of view is, I want to make sure these school zones are warranted because people behave much better, right, in a warranted school zone. So
there are children going to be crossing that road to get to the elementary school?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The middle school and even maybe the high school.
The high school is
and
up the road.
Yeah, the new middle school is just up further on Highland Ranch Parkway up to the north. So you'll have kids walking up on that sidewalk as well as kids crossing to get to the elementary school.
And you mentioned that they're going to increase the size of the road perhaps to a four lane.
If that happens, they'd have to put in a school zone.
You put in something like a bridge or a tunnel, an underpass?
No, they won't.
The kids won't use them anyway, and they're super expensive. It's like $2 million, right? Yeah. So, again, we've looked at pedestrian connectivity, both the public trail system and sidewalks, the street lighting. Again, the high-density suburban zoning was more just for the fact that we have all that open space now, but again, our gross density is 3.97 dwelling units per acre. The proposed lot sizes, our minimum lot sizes are 40 feet by 90 feet, so around 4,000 square feet. We have a lot of larger lots. And also, obviously, these are going to be, you know, homes on the lower end of the spectrum, which again will help fill the void for the housing geared to a broader segment of the market, as I like to put it. But we need more of these homes that are in the 400,000 range. I mean, just a few years ago, these were $300,000 homes. But with the increase in labor and materials, land prices, and as an example, just the fees alone for these homes would be about $25,000 for the water fees, the sewer connection fees, etc. So nothing's inexpensive anymore, but I am on a mission to try and bring more of this missing middle housing that people can't afford to our community. The small lot single family, the attached townhomes. I think it's a big deal for our community. I have children. My house, son just bought his first house. It was a nightmare to try and find something he can afford. So we plan on doing a quality development with quality housing that again will be geared towards a larger segment of the housing market. Next slide. And I think I've talked to everything in this. So with that, if there's any questions.
I have one. And this one, if you're not psychic, you might not be able to answer. With the current economic situation and all the inflation and the possibility of probably another housing bubble, you think you're gonna be able to get this project off the ground and not have to shut it down like they did with Ladera Ranch?
Yes, absolutely, because these are the more affordable homes. Groups like Toll Brothers, they're taking a hard look right now because there's, you know, the market's slowing down for the $700,000 and $800,000 homes, but there's still a huge demand in our community for housing because our housing starts have dropped significantly, but we're still creating jobs and people are moving into the area. And we talked with Tom Worley, who's the Nevada Division President of D.R. Horton. He said, hey, we're still building homes. We can't offer what we did a year ago for land, but we still need to bring housing into the pipeline. And as an example, they were pretty much out of inventory. They had a project they were going to do a build to rent. And because they were so low in inventory, they scrapped the build to rent and they're putting these houses in the market for sale. So I think at this end of the spectrum, you're still going to see continued development in the area.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Back there, Mike, since you seem so quiet, she needs the mic.
Hi there. Thank you so much, Ken, for bringing this to the CAP where it belongs. We have had such a bad time trying to get this before the CAPs where the people, you can actually deal with the people, you can tell them and give them the answers, and this is perfect, beautiful, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank
you're
you.
You're brave.
Thank you.
I got one.
Hi, Kim. Mark Newman for the record. We've spoken numerous times over this because Carmen and I are both going to be your neighbors to this, so we've been dealing with you as well. I am by no means against construction. My father made a living in construction. I made a living in construction to retire. And I really appreciate what you're doing with this and working with us as well. And I've only got the one thing with the school zone, because that to me is pathetic that our school district thinks of Sun Valley that the kids can run across a 45 mile an hour street and think that just one blinking light is going to stop a car. It doesn't do it on Sun Valley Drive half the time. You think it's going to do it for some little kid running. If it was had a school zone in there with that blinking light, that would give that person a double thought in their head before the kids go crossing that street. I really think, I know it costs you as a developer to do it, but for the safety of the children, I really believe it should have a school zone. And the school zones are going to be just like the rest of them. They only flash the school zone lights for a half an hour, 45 minutes while the kids are there. The rest of the time, that school, the cars can go through that school zone at regular speed. I really, truly believe that that needs to be done. And again, thank you for all the time and effort you put in coming here and explaining it to everybody. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, in response to that, what I will try and do is I'll see if I can come back to this group and get MJ and somebody from the county, so that way we can have a discussion, and maybe that'll sway her a little bit, right?
Perfect.
Just hearing
thank you.
From the people who live around here. So I'll commit to doing everything I can to make that happen.
Ken, I want to thank you so much for coming out. Now, I have a comment. So I don't know if you remember when Highland Village 1 first came out. I was actually opposed to the crosswalk from our park to the field, because at that point it's 45 miles an hour, and I having worked with kids for the last 8 years, even the crosswalk is going to give them a false sense of security, and this is what you're going to see.
Yeah, right.
Not paying attention on a skateboard in a 45 mile an hour zone. And so I don't want anybody to have a false sense of security, but I thank you. We've seen roundabouts come and go, and lights come and go, but it sounds like you're on a great track, and we really appreciate you coming to our meeting. Thank you, Ken.
And I'll tell you, with somebody running for the school board here, when I worked at the city, we did safe route to school plans, and we actually had a program where we went into the schools and just tried to give the kids some pointers, right? On safety, how to properly cross the street, things like that, riding your bike on the right side of the street with traffic and not on the left side against traffic. I mean, things like that are a huge deal. And I would love to see more education for children on issues like that, because it only takes a loss of one life to have a major impact on the family and community. So I agree.
On that note, that's how we got a flashing light crosswalk at North Valley's High School when a student got hit. So we don't want to see any other students get hit. And because that construction zone, we have to send out a weekly Connect Ed to parents to tell their high school students not to play at the construction zone. So we're dealing with some setbacks. As much as we can help these kids would be great.
Yeah. Any other questions? All right, well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ken.
Highland Ranch Park up there as well, since you guys really use it.
Yeah, in fact, if I can add this really quick, I have also committed to working with the Parks Department and the county. This project overall, between both phases, will generate $280,000 in park tax revenue. And I want to do everything I can to get as much money as that I can for that to come into Sun Valley to help with your existing park. So that's the other thing I'm going to be working on, is meeting with the County Parks Department and see if there's some projects so that money could be geared towards, instead of letting it go, say, to Spanish Springs. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
See, I have
someplace, I think, meeting September 20.
All right. Thank you so much, Ken. We really appreciate you coming, and we welcome all developers to come out and share their progress and changes that they've made. We really appreciate that. Now we have a commissioner. Do you have any announcements? Commissioner Herman, thank you for being here. Okay, any board member announcements?
I got a ton of them.
Okay. All right.
I'll make mine fast. I just wanted to reiterate what I said last meeting, that I really want our public officials that we elect, I implore them to listen to the people and not to the developers and special interests. We really need to listen to the people that put us in office. We really need to listen to our community. People out here have lived here a long time. I've been here since 1971. I know what my community needs. I know what my community has problems with. I've been here long enough, and I've watched it grow. And I really want an ear to listen to what I'm saying and not just discount what I'm saying. So I, again, vote. We need to change what's going on here, only one way we could do it is get involved. So vote. That's important. On the this is an agenda item thing. I want to put on the agenda, if possible, the car removal and the illegal dumping to come to the cab, because we've had some discussions already this morning from a local resident on Mineral, which is only a couple blocks from where I live, and I know exactly what he's talking about, because I have to deal with it every day too. So I would want a report from the county on that, if possible, or somebody to come talk to us from the Sheriff's Department, so we know how that, and to tell us about the program. We have programs here, like I mentioned in kind of response and public comment, and I want to bring that up so that the residents know that there are ways to get the cars removed, and that we are working as a community to get it done, and I would like them to come and give us a presentation on that and everything. And then I wanted to thank anybody who's in, I don't know if anybody Zoomed in, but while I'm got the microphone, if you Zoomed in, thank you for your participation through Zoom. Even if you didn't interact, we appreciate the fact that you might have tuned in and have watched our chaos in motion, but we love it because we get to talk to one another and we get to participate. And I love, you know, the cab. Okay, and if you can't participate in your community, then you can't expect anything from anything. You have to participate, and then you can have expectations. And when you participate, you get a lot of what you want. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Go ahead, Carol.
Oh, okay.
You got it. Go ahead, do your bounces.
Turn it on.
Okay, I wanted to ask, I was going to ask Kitty Jen, and she's already left. Jean, do you happen to know if the developer of Chocolate Drive has offered any concessions or improvements to our community at all?
False promises.
Huh?
It's been very quiet.
No? No. Okay, well, let's see. Let me talk about the traffic first, because we're talking about traffic. We have these Department of Transportation printouts. We had a couple days in March. One was on Thursday, March 3rd, when we had 26,850 cars go through Sun Valley. On March 2nd, we had 27,050 cars go through. We were over at the Spanish Springs the other night. Poor people on Pyramid. That's a racetrack. However, I didn't realize I was in a line to turn north on Pyramid, and the line that I was sitting in was already up to the tank that's in halfway up the hill. It took me almost 10 minutes, and this is late. Was it noon, 7 o'clock?
No, 5:30.
Oh, the meeting was at 6? Was it 6? Well, then it was 5:30, but it was a little bit past the stampede, but it was still those people coming through our valley, going north on Pyramid. And, of course, I spoke to the county engineer one time, and I said, put a no right-hand turn on Pyramid, so they can't come in here. Oh no, we can't do that. Okay, so that was that problem. But I'm concerned too with the lineup of cars. I didn't realize it was that bad in the back as well, because I live way up on first, off of first. let's see, what else did I have? Well, I did want to find out, I would like to ask a request we need either NDOT or the road department to come and talk to us about. I've got this Cole Mortensen, who was the gentleman that spoke to Spanish Springs. The gentleman is the
deputy director.
Yeah, but this Christina was supposed to come, whoever she is.
His boss.
And the man on the chairman of, like our chairman, he was so livid he could barely talk, because she canceled at the very last minute. But Mr. Mortensen was talking about the assignment, or what is it called when it's a lineup?
Preferences. First, there's going to be the 395 corridor.
yeah. at, on the north side. Then they're going to be working on the I-80 corridors. Next year, they're going to be starting on the Pyramid Highway corridor. And they're hoping that the Five Ridges, when they improve the intersection, which they're going to be working with NDOT next year, that the improvement to the intersection will alleviate all the traffic problems to where they don't have to improve the Highland Ranch Road to a four-lane road or Sun Valley Drive. NDOT didn't want to touch Sun Valley Drive when they were redoing it, putting in the new water line, because it wasn't on their agenda. They're going to look at that 5 years and hopefully have it done within the 2040 scheduling.
Yes.
So literally Sun Valley Drive, Highland Ranch Road, and any of the other roads and things that are happening in Sun Valley, we are very far down on the list compared to other areas that are more developed than we are.
Yes,
that's what I understood.
He didn't know where we were on the list. I have to call him. I forgot to call him, but I have to call him and find out where we are.
Okay, so NDOT.
Well, this is a state highway from 7th to McCarran. It's State Highway 433. And, you know, the county improved to 7th, and then that's it. And here we sit with the old part of Sun Valley, never getting improved, never getting sidewalks or anything along Sun Valley Boulevard. And this is our main street, and I think we ought to have it a little more fancy than it is. Okay? Let's see. Oh, Lieutenant Johnson has been such a help to me. I have had these squatters behind me, and they finally got them out on the street. They are not registered, so they can't stay there. They have like the pink slip or orange slip on their windows. They took them all down. But he told me this morning, we still know that they are on a time frame, so they will have to go. You should see what they've done to this property. I feel so sorry for the people who have inherited it. I guess that's about it. I asked the fire department to bring us the statistics. We asked them at our meeting, or when we met him over in Spanish Springs, we want to get caught up on the service that they're doing. The EMS is a big one all the time. Huge one, yeah. Okay, I think that's about it. I'm going to pass it along to the boss.
Well, Mark Newman for the record. So last month, I applied a few months ago for the Senior Services Citizens Advisory Board, and last month I was put on as an alternate for the Senior Services District 3. Thank you, Commissioner Herman, but all five of them voted to put me in as an alternative. Well, one of the ladies that had been on the Senior Services Advisory Board, as soon as she found out I was an alternate, retired. So the meeting on Wednesday, first thing I walk into the door and they said, you got a short tenure, you're on the board now. So, and then I was asked by the chair, Hamid Ahmad, that I be a spokesperson to some of the CAB meetings. So here is some of the stuff that we went over Wednesday at the citizens. There is a service being done through Northern Nevada. And I left one brochure back there so everybody could get the number. And that if you fall within an income category, and I have the numbers for that, this organization will come out if you, say, having problems for the seniors over 60, changing a light bulb. They'll send somebody out to change a light bulb, change your doors. If you need a new roof, they'll put a new roof on your house. You need access for wheel handicap, they've done some of that out here. You need lighting around your place, they've done that out here for some of our seniors. They'll add additional lighting to your house at no cost to the seniors. This is a great program for people that are, the seniors that are living on a low fixed income, a Social Security only. I have brochures on that. The next thing is, we had a lawyer come in. There are two full-time lawyers in the Senior Services Center there on 9th and Sutro. Anybody over 60, and there is no income cap on this, you could be a multi-billionaire and they'll still give you free legal service through Washoe County. Minor stuff. If you go and commit murder, you're not gonna get a lawyer. And then, for fun stuff, this is just through the Newcomers Neighborhood Club. They're having a fashion show and stuff. There's some brochures back there for that one. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. I lost my agenda. Okay, board commissioner requests, future items. Okay, do we have any other public comment?
They just reopened the health center up here. And if you haven't seen it, they did a great job. And we really need to let people out here know that what's available. They're able to handle almost, what was it, 3 times more people than what they could.
And more, so many more services.
And so many more services that you really need to get the word around to people that need it.
Thank you,
Mike. Oh, Mike Repke.
Thank you, Mike. Go ahead, Susan. Thank you for reminding us that it's a great facility.
Yeah, we were there. That was beautiful inside. It's really nice.
So for the record, Susan Siebert, so I have worked on Sun Valley Boulevard for almost 20 years to get it to where it is now. So, and so when it comes to the road above 7-Eleven there, you have to deal with two entities. You have to deal with both the RTC and Washoe County roads. And that's sometimes where the linchpin is. That road, we have asked many times for it to be improved. They did do some improvements. Washoe County actually funded it. Put a sidewalk in all the way up, restriped it. You'll see that there's a nice sidewalk that runs up there. But now we have an issue up there. So what happened was they had to leave an egress open for the watershed that's there on the turn. So they left an area and actually put a nice driveway in, a dirt driveway down almost to the gully. And that has now become a very popular dumping site. So there was some people that had dumped some stuff there. When I called, it got taken away right away. But now I have ran into, as the usual, the red tape, because now everybody's saying it's not their job to remove it, and that it's, you know, the sheriff or the county. The last thing I was just told is now they're going to go to the state EPA. Because it's in the watershed. Well, my thing is it needs to be removed because unfortunately now it literally is someone's full living room that was dumped there. It's easy to dump there because no one can see them. If they pulled up at night and back in, no one would even notice they were there. And that's become an issue. Of course, now it's become an attractive nuisance because the kids are throwing it all over the place. So now a lot of the items that were up on the dirt is now in the watershed, which means that if we do have any kind of rain event, that's not going to drain very well. So I'm continually on the phone with everybody. So my goal is to make sure that anyone that lives in that area off of, you know, again, because it's on Sun Valley Boulevard, it's hard to see. You see anybody driving down there or in there, please report it right away. Because that's the first thing we need to do. The second thing we need to do is once it does get cleaned up, we have to get the county to do something about restricting access there. Either they put in some posts or a rock or something. I understand they want to keep the access there, but that's become a real a nuisance because that road hasn't even been completed for a year now, and this is already the second time they've dumped there. So I just wanted to make everybody aware that I've opened a couple cases on it, and any help anyone wants to give me, I would take. Thank you.
Susan, where is that? Right on the turn, Sun Valley North. So you're coming up north, and when you make the turn, and there's a new sidewalk there, you'll see, well, it's actually down. You can barely see it, but that's where they're dumping. No, this is on Sun Valley Boulevard, just north of Quartz.
The fire station. Hello. I just wanted to mention I'm going to try to get in touch with Ed Pierce and see if we can get him to come out and do a little blurb for us about this health center, because like I said, we were there and it is so tremendous. The rooms, the examining rooms and everything for kids and adults, and then one far end they have a thing for food for people.
Food pantry.
Yeah, food pantry.
Prescription food pantry.
Yeah, and there's a pharmacy too. So, I'm, like I say, I'm going to try and get a hold of Ed Pierce, because he does a lot of those, and he's a very nice gentleman. Maybe he'll be able to give us a load. Because people don't read or anything anymore. Everybody's on television or telephones.
Any more public comment? Thank you guys all so much for coming. Our next meeting is, what did you say, October 1st? Our next meeting is the first Saturday in October?
Yeah.
I second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you guys so much for coming.
In fact, I brought some of these books from the Spartan Library. This is for these 3 months coming up. Calendar full of stuff for